days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord.
Welcome to Love's Last Call with Evangelist Carol Ann of Agape Light Ministries. Please open your hearts to hear an anointed message that will encourage and empower you to walk in the love and light of God's Word.
Beloved, in parts 1 to 6 of Babylon Rising, we have covered the roots of Babylon and the spiritual wickedness that is perpetrated from within it. The harlot of Revelation 17, the false prophet, the Pope, the mark of the beast, and the beast system. In part 7, we are going to address the Antichrist, who will rule over the global empire that is even now being prepared for him to take control over all people, who will be left behind after the rapture of God's legitimate church, which is his bride. In Revelation 6:2, we read the account of the vision John is given of this man of lawlessness showing up on the scene of earth with conquering power. And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. This striking figure rides a white horse and wears a crown, because, as in every masterful counterfeit of Lucifer, who is literally hell-bent on usurping the one true and only God of all creation, this impostor will present himself as the long-awaited Messiah of the world. Initially, he will present a false peace, but his intentions from the start will be to conquer and control. In a commentary entitled Profile of the Antichrist, we are given a compelling description of this agent of darkness who will be possessed by Satan himself. They write, "Some have confused the rider of the white horse in Revelation 6:2 with Jesus, but the rider is actually the Antichrist. For following the appearing of this rider is not a kingdom of righteousness, but a time of wickedness and sorrow. Masquerading as the true Messiah, he wears a crown, whereas Jesus wears many crowns, as recorded in Revelation 19:12. The Greek translation of the crown worn by the rider on the white horse in Revelation 6:2 indicates one who comes to conquer. However, the crowns that Jesus wears refer to royalty. He is the King of Kings and the Victorious One. No one, not even the Antichrist, who will be empowered by Satan, will be able to stand against the living Word and great I Am. However, the enemy with prideful lust will continue on his demonic rampage to gain the worship of all the earth's inhabitants until God's prophetic word of truth is completely fulfilled, and this dread enemy is put away forever in the lake of fire. And as he pushes forward with his relentless agenda, his coming world leader, the Antichrist, will appear at an economically difficult time. There will be war in different parts of the world, and he, through brilliant political moves, along with an incredible charisma, will be able to do what no one else has ever done, bring economic stability to the world's monetary system, and bring temporary and false peace to the world. By establishing this false peace, he will deceive many. He will even convince the Jewish nation and the Arab nation to sign a peace treaty, paving the way for the building of the long-awaited Third Temple. His accomplishments will be so spectacular, so far-reaching and unprecedented, that many will hail him as the Messiah. But we are warned in Scripture that he is a master deceiver, with 2 Thessalonians 2:3 describing him as the man of lawlessness. Lawless can be translated as wicked, and surely the Antichrist will be history's vilest embodiment of sin, wickedness, and rebellion. He will totally oppose every law of God, and halfway into his power, he will show his true colors. He will reveal himself to be a bloodthirsty dictator who will make Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, and Saddam Hussein look like lightweights in comparison. Dictators rarely take over nations by brute force, political or economic problems almost always pave the way for tyranny. This has already been proven true in history. Rome set the precedent, seeking out nations who were in political and economic turmoil. They came with seeming benevolence, only to turn to tyrannical suppression and demanding worship of Caesar. Adolf Hitler did the same. In 1930, Germany was in desperate financial straits. Inflation was so bad that literally thousands of people were starving. Communists stirred up riots in the streets, and there was general chaos. Then Adolf Hitler came on the scene, a voice of authority in the midst of chaos. He spoke of people of destiny and promised glories to come, but it was not meant to be. And Hitler was a pale version of the Antichrist, who will work through a revived Roman Empire. He, like the Romans and Hitler, will bring political, military, and economic answers, and he will persecute anyone who does not succumb to his dictatorship and universal rule. The Antichrist will not act alone. The false prophet will work alongside him, and the unholy trinity will be formed. Lucifer, also known as Satan, imitating God, and for a short time having the worship of the people worldwide. The Antichrist masquerading as the Son, and the false prophet impersonating the Holy Spirit. The Antichrist will bring about a new religious system that will accommodate everyone. We are currently in the midst of a cult explosion, whether it be Dianetics, which is the modern science of mental health, false god worship, reincarnation, astrology, holistic healing, or any of 100 other consciousness-raising techniques. The modern age is on a search for some mystical divine unity. The time is ripe for a world religion. And as the people of earth fall into the enemy's trap of lying persuasions, the Antichrist will bring them under his control and mark them with his insignia. In Revelation 13, 16 to 18, it is written, "And he causes all, the small and the great, and the rich and the poor, and the free men and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And he provides that no one should be able to buy or to sell, except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of a man, and his number is 666. Before computers were such a vital part of our lives, it was hard to imagine how this prophecy could be enforced. However, in our generation, we have seen the developments of all the parts of the electronic system necessary for one person to wield total economic control over all credit cards, debit cards, smart cards, ATMs, etc. Now we have supercomputers that are so fast that they can perform thousands of operations on each person's files in the world every second. Satellites can link the whole world together instantly, receiving unbelievable amounts of data simultaneously. Fiber optics that service our homes and computers are able to carry thousands of conversations, video images, and data transfers at the same time. Our cell phones can do this wirelessly, while the internet links large and small businesses around the globe together instantly. In addition, we all have several numbers already assigned to us, such as Social Security or our driver's licenses, etc., that enable easy access to our records. And those are only a few examples of a much greater capability that is in place right now, by way of technology that is so advanced that our every move can be, and in many cases already is, being tracked, monitored, and recorded. Modern technology has made it possible for the Antichrist to do what the Bible has prophesied that he will, to literally control the right of individuals in their ability to buy or sell. For example, we can buy most of what we need by use of our debit or credit cards, However, they can be lost. This problem could be solved by inserting tiny electronic transponders, otherwise known as chip implants, somewhere in our body, say on our hand or on our forehead. This has already been done with livestock and household pets. And thus, the stage is being set for the coming mark of the beast. Along these lines, Now the End Begins Ministry noted that, in case you haven't been paying attention, the global community of science and nearly all world governments have been absolutely obsessed with injecting things into human beings. We have just lived through the most contentious period of time in modern history, where hundreds of millions of people were locked down against their will and forced to receive an injection from their government or to pay the consequences. Now the world's richest man, Elon Musk, has governmental FDA approval to install microchips into people's brains with his Neuralink technology. USA reported that Musk has received approval to begin trials on Neuralink's implant, which actually includes a wireless battery and other electronics hermetically sealed with a device about the size of a coin. Several dozen ultra-thin threads protrude from the implant and go directly into the brain. Signals from the implant are then sent via Bluetooth to and decoded by a brain-computer interface, or BCT, which would allow a person to, for instance, control an on-screen cursor or to move a robotic limb. While the presented motives seem to be based on a worthy cause, such as enabling the paralyzed to walk, some of the other stated goals they are reaching out for are for a person to be able to control a computer or mouse or phone or really any device just by thinking to do so. Or as Musk stated, having a Fitbit in your skull. Many people have already expressed the desire to have such technology made available to them and have said that they would definitely have the chip implanted in their brain, especially if it made them smarter and more powerful. It is another link to the elitist goal of transhumanism, the meshing of humanity with technology, whereby a person becomes part human and part machine, with the eventual goal being immortality and godhood. But they are only being deceived. They will never reach that high and lofty goal, even as Nimrod and his followers saw their tower of prideful endeavors come crashing down under the ultimate and majestic power of the One who alone is all authority in heaven and in the earth. Nevertheless, the enemy will continue to press on as these last prophetic minutes and even seconds on God's end-of-the-age time clock continue to press forward to the stroke of eternity's midnight and Lucifer's final demise. And we, as the Lord's holy remnant, will also press on in our efforts to keep abreast of the world events that are dramatically lining up with God's prophetic word of truth, in readiness and devoted service to our King. So please join me next time, and until then, I leave you with Proverbs 16:16. How much better to get wisdom than gold, to choose understanding rather than silver. And as always, beloved, I bid you His agape.
You've been listening to Love's Last Call with Evangelist Carol Ann of Agape Light Ministries. If you have a prayer request, please contact us at Agape Light Ministries, P.O. Box 6313, Chesterfield, Missouri 63006, or via our website at www.agapelightministries.com. Again, that's www.agapelightministries.com.